Welcome to the Pups That Play podcast. My name is Karen, and I'm a pro dog trainer and fur mom, and I will be your host throughout this journey. Together, I'm going to be sharing with you training tips, tools, and strategies to help you create a well-mannered, calm, and confident family pet. The best part is, we do it all through play. Around here, our dogs are part of our family, and we want them to live their best lives possible and have it be enjoyable for everyone involved. I am so excited to share today's episode with you, so let's get started. Hello and welcome back to Pups That Play. So today's episode, we are going to be discussing what to do if maybe your current dog training isn't working out the way you wanted. Maybe whatever you are doing, whatever you're trying to teach your dog, whatever you might be going through with your dog, might not be panning out the way that you'd hoped, or you're getting really, really frustrated with it because you just might not be seeing the results that you're wanting either quick enough, or just maybe you feel like it's you're taking one step forward, five steps back. Dog training is never a linear process. So no matter what kind of training you do with your dog, there's always going to be good days and bad days. That's just kind of life. But what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about the three different types of training, like three different kind of buckets. Or if you think about dog trainers, there's generally you can put every single dog trainer out there into one of three different buckets, okay? And we're going to dive into what those are, kind of how you can identify it so you can identify which one of these three types of training you may have been trying with your dog either currently or in the past, and which one really might be the one that you should try with your dog. So if you're trying something and it's not working, don't change the goal, change how you're doing it. So let's dive right in. So number one, the first type of dog training is kind of your more quote unquote, you can't see me, I'm doing air quotes, traditional dog training. So your traditional dog trainers. This is something that was really big back in like the 90s and that kind of thing. And it was your focus on what the dog is doing that you don't want. Okay, this is like, okay, we don't want them barking. We don't want them jumping up on people. We don't want them, you know, running off and not coming back when they're called. And a really big part of this kind of training was kind of that leader of the pack mindset, that you are the alpha dog and you need to be very dominant to them. They need to be submissive to you. There's a lot of aversives kind of used with this type of training. So that's when you get a lot of those training collars, shock collars, choke chains, prong collars. And I'm not here to tell you, like, none of this is right or wrong. It's just that is a type of training. It's definitely a type of training. It's still out there. You encounter it a lot less these days. It works for some people and it doesn't work for others. So when I kind of was introduced to the world of dog training years ago with our family border collie, that was kind of the mindset. I remember we had a choke chain for him because we had to give him when we were teaching him how to walk nicely on a leash. If he did any kind of pulling, you were supposed to give like a quick jerk on the choke chain, on the leash, to get him to get fall back into line with you, right? It was very, very much focused on what you do not want. And it works for some, and it doesn't work for all. And I'm finding more and more and more dogs that this type of kind of traditional dominance, alpha-based, aversive-based dog training just doesn't work for. It definitely works for some, but there's so many out there that it doesn't work for. Prime example would be my Sheltie that I used to have, Zeppelin. He was a soft little dog. He was very timid. He was very shy. He was super sweet once he opened up to you. But these kind of training methods, if ever tried on him, would just break him. You could see his little spirit just break. I remember he had really bad separation anxiety. And we were living in an apartment building at the time, and my husband worked and I worked, and we needed to leave him, but he did so much barking, and in an apartment building, barking, that wasn't a good thing. And I didn't know what to do, and someone had recommended, oh, you need to get a bark collar. You need to, you know, put a bark collar on him. He's going to get a couple of zaps. It's going to teach him not to bark. No more barking. You're totally fine. And I remember going out and I bought one and I put it on him. And these work for some dogs, definitely. But I put it on him and I put him in his crate and I walked away and he barked and it zapped him and he let out this painful, like heart-wrenching, like, yip, like, eh. And it broke my heart. And I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do it. So I ended up returning that thing like literally within the day. It didn't work for him. And it didn't like, this was a dog that I tried to do clicker training with, which is a different, not this traditional type of training. And even the noise of the clicker would send him hiding because he didn't like it. He was very soft. So it's not going to work for every dog. And there's a lot more dogs. And the thing about this traditional style of training is it most of the time is actually quite relationship damaging. So my philosophy when it comes to dog ownership and dog training is that we build a bond with our dogs. We have a very special relationship there. And it's a relationship built on trust. And we live together and we function together. And this kind of training, that traditional / aversive based / alpha dog training, it can be really damaging to that relationship, to that bond that you're trying to build with your dog. You have a dog that, you know, starts to fear you. Maybe they're behaving, but they're doing it more so out of fear of repercussion than for actually like having value for wanting to do what you want them to do, for value for being with you. And with certain dogs, depending on the temperament of the dog, it can cause them to hide behavior from you. So maybe they're not going to do those bad behaviors when you're around, but they're sure as heck going to do them when you're not around. That's when sometimes when you get like a lot of destruction in the house when left alone or potty training issues and things like that. It's something that works for some people. I have not had a lot of success with it in the past, and luckily there are other ways. So that's number one. That's the first type of training. Okay. So the second type of training has become very, very, very popular in the past little while, and that is positive reinforcement training, rewards-based training. Okay. So I'm sure all of you have heard of this. I'm sure a lot of us have done this and work in this realm. And that is, you know, you are rewarding your dog for the things that you do want them to do. You're focusing on the good stuff. You are using lots of treats and toys and praise, and you're building that trust. You're building that relationship with your dog. And it's very, very much like, yes, so you're going to focus on the behaviors you do want. So big difference from focusing on what you don't want. You're going to reward the things that you do want. And then it basically teaches you to ignore what you don't. And the idea is that you're going to build up so much value and so much reward for those good behaviors that your dog is going to want to do them more and more and more and more. And they're going to do those other things, the things you're ignoring, you're not rewarding, you're not praising. They're going to do those behaviors less and less and less and less. So this is a much more effective, for most dogs, a much more effective form of training. It's something that I have yet to find a dog that doesn't respond positively to positive reinforcement based training, to rewards based training. The one thing about it, you know, it's used out there a lot, and I think of myself as a positive reinforcement based trainer generally. A lot of it is working in the situation. So let me like think about it this way. If you're like, you know what? That's what I do. I reward everything that I want to see with my dog. I ignore the things that I don't. We try and we try and we try, but we still struggle. Okay? Maybe you still struggle. Maybe you have a dog that you work with them at home and you do these things and you reward them, but then when you get out there into the real world or you go on your walk and they're reactive to another dog or something, it just doesn't work. A lot of the times when we're doing kind of positive reinforcement based training, we're working in the situation. So we're putting our dogs in those situations that maybe they don't do so good in, and trying to reward the good behavior. Sometimes, and hands up, I have been there. Sometimes you have a dog and you have a situation that you're in and there's just no good to reward. Like, it can lead to some extreme frustration when you are like, okay, I'm going to take my dog for a walk. You know, they bark and lunge and pull on the leash when they see other dogs, but I'm going to take him for a walk. I got some really high value rewards, and I'm going to reward every time he focuses on me and reward every time he walks right by my side. This is going to be awesome. And you get out there and you're on your walk and they're checking in with you. You're rewarding it. They're walking nice and close to you. You're rewarding it. And then they see another dog and like they're starting to get a little stressy, but they're still kind of checking in. You're rewarding. Yay, good dog. Yeah, check in with me. Good boy, good boy. And you get closer and you reach this point where the dog just, all of a sudden, you don't matter anymore. The food that you're trying to reward with doesn't matter anymore. And you're in this situation where it's gone too far. And what do you do? The positive reinforcement-based training tells you we'll reward what you want to see. Well, if you in all of a sudden in this situation where your dog sees that dog and they're pulling on the leash and they're barking and they're lunging and they're doing all those things that you don't want, okay, I'm not going to reward it. I'm going to ignore it. Don't reward it. Don't reward it. Next thing you know, you're so frustrated. Your dog's worked up. They won't even take food from you, even if they do something that you want. And it can be very, very, very frustrating. So a lot of those times, then what we do is we go, okay, we're not going to put our dogs in those situations. We're going to work with them, you know, at home and the places that we can. But what if you really, really want to enjoy that walk with your dog, or you really want to, you know, go for an off-leash walk with them, but when you're in the situation and you try to recall them off of that bunny or that deer, they will not come back. It's so hard to work to reward what you want when they're in that problem, in that situation. And that's kind of the downside that I've seen to this. Like, it, not even a downside, but like, what do you do? Where do you go from there? So that's number two, positive reinforcement, reward-based training. You're playing, you're having fun with your dog, you're rewarding the things you want, you're ignoring the things that you don't. Generally see a much good, like a good improvement in behavior. You are building that bond with your dog, you're building that relationship, but there are definitely certain situations where it gets very frustrating, especially if there's nothing to reward and you don't know what to do. And it gets very, very hard and very frustrating to work in those situations. So I want you to think of it like, another example would be, okay, you have a dog that is scared of cars, right? So you're like, okay, well, I'm going to go to a parking lot and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to reward the dog every time a car goes by. Yes, like we call this counter conditioning. So you are reconditioning your dog's response to that thing that they're fearful of, that thing that they don't like, the cars. Oh, car goes by, good thing happens, I give you a treat. Car goes by, good thing happens, I give you a treat. For some dogs, this is definitely going to work. It might take a long time, but it's going to work. But it's extremely stressful for your dog during that process. And when your dog is in that high state of stress, high state of arousal, they're going to not retain what you're trying to teach them. You're going to have a really, really hard time teaching them what you want. It's going to take a heck of a lot longer. So where do we go from there? Is there another way? And that's where the third type of training comes in. And this is something called concept training. Okay. This is something that I recently, when I say recently, I would say in the last 3 years, started to learn more and more about. And I did not come up with this. Obviously, I didn't come up with any of this. But concept training, I first heard of it from Tom and Lauren with Absolute Dogs. And it just, when I learned this, it changed everything for me. And now this is the way that I train. Okay, so what concept training is you're still using rewards-based training, but it breaks everything down into certain skills, certain concepts. So every single dog has all of these skills, all of these different concepts, okay? There are going to be some of them that your dog is really, really good at. Some concepts for your dog are going to be really, really strong. And there's going to be some concepts that they really, really struggle with, Okay. And this can be different for all sorts of different situations. So it works by identifying where those weak points are, identifying the skills that they may not have, the concepts that they struggle with. So for example, let's say you have a dog that will not recall off of wildlife. Okay. You want to enjoy off leash walks, but the minute you take your dog off leash, it's like that you don't exist anymore and you're going off and they are just sniffing everywhere. And if they see something, they're going to chase it. And that's that. There's no calling them out of it. It's just, you know, sometimes if nothing distracts them, you have a great walk, but if something does, that's it. You're not getting them back, or it's going to take a really long time to get them back. So instead of being like, okay, we're going to go and we're going to walk and we're going to recall on off leash walks all the time, what we do is we look at the dog and we go, okay, so they are struggling with recall and calling off of something that they're very interested in. What concepts are at work here? So number one, one of the concepts that that dog in particular could be struggling with is proximity. So proximity to you. They struggle with, or they don't have enough value for being close to you, for staying with you, for staying within your bubble. Okay, they're just showing you that the value for them is out there, not for being close to you. So that is a concept. We identify that. Okay, they struggle with proximity. Maybe they also struggle with disengagement. So they have trouble turning themselves away from something that they find very stimulating, something that they really, really want. Maybe it's that deer or that rabbit or that bird or whatever it is. Your dog is showing you that they do not have the concept, or they really, really struggle with the concept of disengagement. So those dogs that you see out there that can see something, start to go after it, and their owner can call them and they turn away from it and come back, they have really, really strong disengagement. They are able to very easily pull themselves off of that thing that they were going to go run after and come back to their owner. That's disengage from the rabbit, disengage from the deer, whatever it is, and come back to you. Your dog who doesn't do that would have a struggle with the concept of disengagement. Okay, so that's an example of two concepts in this example. So we've identified where they struggle. They're going to be struggling with proximity. They don't want to stay in close to you, and they struggle from disengaging off of that thing. Well, what do we do now? The great thing, the key thing with concept training is we can build these skills. We can build up these concepts with our dogs out of the situation. We don't have to put them in those situations to teach them how to deal with those situations. And you might be thinking, well, how? Like, how does that even work? That's the beauty of concept training. So concept training is also, we play through games, okay? There are hundreds and hundreds of games that we can play with our dogs that build on different skills. So we've identified two skills where they struggle. Now we can find the games that work for the dog. Games that we can play that build value for proximity, build value for being close to you. And you can play these at home. You can play them in your yard. You can play them out of the situation. Build up the skills in low distraction environments where it's fun, quick, and easy. And same thing, there are different games and things that we can play for the skill of disengagement. Games that you play that teach them to turn away from things that they want, to come back into you, to disengage from a distraction. And you play these games and you just quick and easy, 3-5 minutes, no longer than that, fit them into your day, play with them. It's fun. You're building that bond you have with your dog. You're building that relationship. Any kind of training that you do in this positive reinforcement or concept training, those two bubbles, is going to be continuously building the value for you. And the more value your dog has for you, the better they're going to listen. The more they want to listen, the easier everything is going to get. Okay, so you play the games, build the proximity, play the games, build the disengagement. And then you slowly open their world up again. Then you slowly start to get back out into that situation. Once they've proven that they have been able to build these skills at home through games and in different environments through these games, then when you are out in that situation and they see the thing, for in this example, the deer or the rabbit on your off-leash walk, and you're able to call them and they're able to disengage and come back to you because you've spent so much time building that skill with them, building the skill, and it transfers over. them being able to disengage from things in the games and at home and everything does build over if they have enough value for it, if you've done it enough. It transfers over to when you're in those situations where you want them to disengage off of that deer or that squirrel or whatever it is. Same with proximity. You play those games at home to build that value for your dog being with you. The next thing you know, when you're going on an off-leash walk and you let them off the leash, instead of being 20 feet out, not even looking with you, you have a dog that stays within a close range and constantly checks in on you and wants to be with you and stays with you, and you have that value. So it teaches your dog, concept training teaches your dog the skills that they need, what is going to help them in those specific situations, out of the situation. So it's not stressful. It's not stressful for your dog. It's not stressful for you. You get to teach these concepts through games. And the great thing is a lot of the concepts kind of spill over into each other. So you find your, what we call bottleneck, your main thing that they are struggling with. And you might be working on that. And then all of a sudden you find that other areas that weren't so bad, but were still kind of struggles, start to improve as well. It's like this cascading waterfall. And there's so many different concepts. So I'll give you an idea of what some of these are. So we talked about proximity. We talked about disengagement. There's also the concept of engagement. So your dog actually engaging with you. There's confidence. This is huge for a lot of dogs. My Sheltie really, really lacked confidence. And I didn't know at the time because I had no idea what concept training was. But I realize now that a lot of the stuff that we did with him helped build his confidence. And he became a much better dog in general. We did agility with him. I was told by my trainer at the time to put him in agility to build his confidence. And it did. And he got better in all areas of life, not just on the agility field. There's thinking and arousal. This one's huge. So this is for those dogs that like the light's on, but no one's home. When they get into those modes where like, can you listen to me when this is going on? You can build that as a skill. You can build it as a concept. Optimism is huge. Dogs can actually be optimistic or pessimistic. And that is a skill that we want to build in our dogs. Independence. This is great for separation related struggles, being able to build independence in our dogs. Like maybe they're so focused and so needy on us that they can't be left alone or they can't do something on their own. You can build the skill, the concept of independence. Focus, flexibility, arousal up, arousal down, tolerance of frustration. Like there are so many different concepts. So once you know what these concepts are and you're able to identify your struggles and which concepts are going into them, you just play the games that build those concepts, build those skills, and then you start to see the results in real life. You start to see your dog's behavior improve. You start to have so many less struggles with them. So you may be thinking, well, that's amazing. I don't even know where to start with that. This is one of the things that I am going to be offering in my membership. So I am coming up with a monthly membership and I'm really, really excited about it. It has not launched yet, but there is going to be a link in the description for you to get on the wait list so you can be the first to hear more about it when it does come out. It's going to be coming out soon. And I base it around concept training and training through games. And basically what it's going to have is you join and it's going to have all of these concepts on a cheat sheet, exactly what they are, how to identify if your dog is good with them or if they struggle with them. You go through it, we help you figure out exactly which ones your specific dog with your specific struggles is needing to build the most, the areas that they struggle with the most. And then every single month, you get 3 new games that will work on different concepts. A lot of them overlap, so one game might build like 2, 3, 4 different concepts. It's really great that way. You play the games, you fit them into your everyday life, you fit them into little moments throughout your day, and you start to build those skills. You build these skills, you build the concepts in your dog, and you become, have a much more resilient, better behaved, confident dog. You're also building that relationship with them too. So the other thing that I like to do, because it's really good for your dog's mindset, is also tricks. Tricks are, they aren't exactly functional in the sense of, do they really need to know how to shake a paw and roll over? No. Is it fun to teach them? Yes. Any kind of training you do with your dog burns through mental energy, so does it help you tire them out as well? Yes. Does it build that bond with you, with them, and that value for you, that relationship you have with them? Yes. So we do one new trick a month that you can teach your dog. And we also do one new enrichment activity for dogs every single month. So you will have something new, and this is just to better your dog's life, to help you provide your dog with the best life possible, to work that brain, to help tire them out if you need to make their life more enriched and more fulfilling. And we also do a live monthly Q&A with the trainer, where I actually get on a live call with everybody in the membership and everyone's able to ask questions and we can go over things, and you actually get that kind of one-on-one working through these different things, answering any questions you might have. So if you want to learn more, if you want to have the first to know when more information and an actual concrete date on this gets released, click the link in the description, get your name on the wait list. There's bonuses for being on the wait list too, as in, like, maybe if you're the first to know, maybe there'll be a discount. Who knows? I'm not saying anymore right now. But that is basically the three different types of training. So you have your traditional, and maybe that works for your dog. Maybe it's something you've tried in the past and it hasn't worked for you. You have your positive reinforcement / rewards-based training. Maybe that's where you are right now, and maybe you're having a lot more success with it, but you're still struggling in certain areas, or you're frustrated with certain parts of it, and you're just maybe not progressing where you want to, or you feel like you've tried everything and it's just not working. And then there's three, which is concept training, and that's where you actually identify these skills, these concepts that your dog has. Every single dog has them. Figure out where that they struggle. Build those concepts, build those skills out of the situation, out of the stress at home, build them up, and then you have a dog that's able to function when you get out into the real world with them. Okay? Let me know what you thought of today's episode. If this was something that really, really helped you, please feel free to share it with another dog owner, a pup friend of yours. Share the love. Or leave me a review wherever you listen to your podcast, because that helps me get the word out and share all of this with so many more people, which is exactly what I'm here for. Thank you so much for joining me today, and we'll see you soon. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you liked what you heard, please feel free to leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast. You can learn more about us by checking out our website, www.prairiepups.com. You can connect with us more directly over on Instagram at @prairie_pups, or you can reach out to us at any time, info@prairiepups.com. Thank you again so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.